Amen, Travis.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we choose you. You are our God. We are your people. You chose us.
Yes.
And Father, now we choose you. Father, bless this service. Bless the people here today. May your words be spoken and your truth put into our hearts as you talk to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be in Matthew, 22nd chapter. I'm going to start reading in the first verse here in a minute. But suppose you were invited to come to the White House to have a private dinner with the president. Regardless of what you think about the president, think about your favorite president, okay? That he's the one that's invited you to come. Mm-hmm. Would you go?
Yeah.
I think most of us would if we had that opportunity, a chance in a lifetime. But you know, many wouldn't. You have the right to say no. But I think you would be missing out on a great opportunity to do that. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to be in Matthew, 22nd chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Jesus had been teaching through parables all through these last few scriptures here. This is a parable of the wedding feast. It says, "And again Jesus spoke to them in parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And to those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garments, and he said to him, friend, how do you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In those places there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. This parable, Jesus comparing this to the kingdom of heaven. The king in this story, we'll call him the master in this story, sends out an invitation to those he wanted at the feast. But you can hear from the scripture, they made excuses, they put it off, they even treated his servants so badly that the master said, these people weren't even worthy to come to this feast. I'm throwing this invitation open to anybody who wants to come. See, that's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
He's a God who wants to get to know us, but knows us, but knows everything about us.
Amen.
And he's sending out a personal invitation with our name on it.
Amen.
Certainly an invitation to eat with God is something that we would never think of turning down. But you know, many do. They make excuses not to come, just like those people in the scripture verse today, where they were invited to the banquet, but they made excuses, did anything they could do to avoid coming to the banquet. Nothing has changed. Supper is ready. God is still willing. The invitations are still going out, and the excuses are still being made. Have you heard this excuse before? I've heard it many times. Many times you hear this among young people, but not just young people. I will answer that invitation, but I'm going to wait until I've had a little fun. I'm young. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to live my life the way I want to right now. And when I'm older, then I'll accept the invitation. They're so messed up thinking that God is some kind of killjoy. They don't realize the only time you really have happiness, the only time you really know joy, the only time you really know peace is when you know God.
Amen.
Jesus said, John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't come to take the life out of the party. Jesus came to put life into the party.
Amen.
Listen, if you can be like the prodigal son. You can go out there and sow your wild oats. You can be happy for a time. But that's not real. That's not lasting. That is artificial.
Amen.
You want true happiness. You want real peace. You want real joy.
Amen.
You answer that invitation. What, Billy?
When I was a kid, growing up, I've had a faith. And then my husband, I had a faith. When I was a kid, it was fun. And growing up,
okay. Well, if you got any more questions, Kelly, wait until after we're over and I'll answer them.
If you'll listen, maybe you'll hear them answer.
You cannot make the excuse to God that I'm going to answer the invitation, God, but I'm going to do it on my time.
Right.
When I'm ready. I've heard this excuse before too. I am such a sinner. I am so bad. God couldn't possibly love me. I need to get better before I come. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Listen, to put off coming to Christ so you can get better. It's like waiting to go to the doctor until you're healed and then go to the doctor. That makes no sense, does it? That doesn't make sense. But people are doing the same thing when they're saying that I'm too sinful. When I clean my life up, then I will come. How are you going to clean your life up without God?
Right.
How are you going to have full forgiveness of sin until you know God?
That's right.
I love the song, Just As I Am.
Amen.
It says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The only way you can get better is to answer the invitation that has been offered. You can't do it on your own. People try to straighten up their lives, they change things, but you can't change who you are. Only God can do that.
Amen.
Have you heard people say this before? You know what? I'm good enough already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm as good or better than any of those people that are going to church there on Sunday. Listen, the question is not how good we are in our own estimation. The question is, how good are we in God's sight?
Amen.
Two men on a roof cleaning a chimney. One man falls into the chimney and was falling. The other man reaches down to grab him, to catch him. But the weight of the other man pulls both of the men down through the chimney and out at the back. First man gets out of the chimney. His face is full of soot, completely black. The other man, who when he fell, put his arms in front of his face, when he came down, there was no soot on his face. Well, the man that had no soot on his face immediately goes and starts scrubbing his face, while the man that had soot all over his face went right back up on the roof and began to work. You know why that is? The man, no soot on his face, looked at the other man, saw all that soot, and said, if he has soot, I must have soot. So he went and washed the face that didn't need to be washed. The other man, whose face was full of soot, looked at the man who had no soot on his face and thought he was perfectly clean. Listen, the moral of this story is this. You can't look at each other and judge ourselves.
Amen.
We have to look in the mirror. Uh-huh. And that mirror is the Holy Word of God. And Jesus says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yes.
None of us are good enough.
No.
You might be as moral as the next guy, but you will never be good enough for God until Jesus says, in John 3:21, you must be born again.
That's right.
I don't care how good you think you are not good enough to deny the invitation that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say, man, that church is full of hypocrites. I wouldn't go there. They're full of hypocrites. And when they say that to me, I say, Oh, we're not full yet. There's still room for you. The truth of the matter is, church is not full of hypocrites. There are some weak brothers and sisters that are struggling and having problems and dealing with things. But isn't this where they should be?
Amen.
Isn't this the best place for them? So the light can be shown on their struggles and their misfortunes and their mistakes, so they don't continue to live that lifestyle.
Amen. Yeah.
Look at it this way. Mozart is no less a great composer just because someone sits down at the piano and plays a lousy rendition of his music. That doesn't mean the composer is bad, just the piano player. Okay? It's the same thing with us here at church. The gospel is glorious. Sometimes the way we perform for God is poor, but that doesn't mean God is poor. Listen, you will still go to the doctor if the doctor has a cold, because you know the doctor can give you medicine that will heal you. You go to an attorney if you need legal help, even though that attorney got a speeding ticket, doesn't mean he can't help you get through your legal problems. It's the same thing with the church. Just because there is sin here, it doesn't mean that the church can't lead you in paths of righteousness. It does not mean that the gospel is bad.
Amen.
It's just sometimes we don't act good.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the scariest excuses I hear, and I know you have heard this before too, is that God is love. He's never going to condemn anybody. So many people tread on God's grace and mercy. They say, I don't need to become a Christian because God is love and He wouldn't condemn anyone. Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Let me read you 2 Peter 2:4. If God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, what makes you think He will spare you?
Mm-hmm.
Say a child is sick with a terminal illness. The only cure for this child is a long way away at another hospital, and the cure is very expensive. The father sells all his belongings, travels a great way, goes and purchases the medicine that will cure his son, comes back home, says to his son, here, take this and you'll be well. The son looks at it, throws the bottle against the wall, breaks it, and then turns to the father and says, now if I die, it's your fault. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But isn't that exactly what we do to God? God paid a price.
Amen.
For us. Amen. He sent His Son to the cross. Yes. For us.
Thank the Lord.
He purchased the medicine for our sin. He offers life to all of us.
Amen.
Yet we toss it aside and then have the guts to say, God is a God of love. He would never send me to hell. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy.
Amen.
He's a God of grace. He's also a jealous God.
God of wrath.
The late, great Billy Graham, I heard him say once that hell was never intended for man. It was created for the devil and all his angels. But if man just keeps insisting he wants to go to God's bed, that's the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. Do not think that you do not have to obey God. One day, the scriptures say, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess.
Amen.
But by then it will be too late.
Amen.
We have an invitation to come to Christ. That invitation has been given. We have to accept it. Many people don't come to Christ because they still have doubts. Did God really invite me? Is the banquet for real? I mean, how else are you going to find out unless you come to Christ to know?
Amen.
There are always there those people who stay away from Christianity until they can have more proof. So they learn more. What are you going to experience Christ if you don't know Christ? How are you going to understand God's love unless you've experienced God's love?
Right. Amen.
Listen, God's not going to insult your intelligence. If you have questions, bring him to God. Bring him to church. Bring him to Sunday school. Bible studies. Worship. Pray to God. Listen, you're not going to get all the answers. Coming to God, part of that is by faith. And you know, you're not going to have all the answers. But you got to trust God that he knows the answers. You cannot deny this invitation because you doubt it's real.
That's right.
And finally, and I've heard this many times, I know you have too. You know, I kind of worship God my own way. God knows my heart. And I kind of have my own religion. And as long as I'm sincere, that's all that matters.
Amen.
All I've got to say to that is baloney. Sincerity is no basis for a relationship with God. Jesus said, the true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. He didn't say we're to worship our own religion, our own way, and just be sincere about it. We got to come on God's terms. We got to do it God's way, in spirit and truth. In these scripture verses we read today, there was a man that came and accepted the invitation. He wanted to do it his own way. He didn't want to do it like God had told him to do it. He wanted to do it his own way. He was sincere. He wanted to be there, but he was going to do it his way. What happened to him? Cast into outer darkness. Listen, you may be sincere when you leave here today and say, I'm going to head to Fort Worth. But if you don't take the right road to go to Fort Worth, you're going to end up somewhere else. They say all the roads lead to the mountaintop. Bull. There's only one way to get to God.
Amen.
And that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you can be as sincere as you want to be about how you want to worship God, but if you don't worship God in spirit and in truth, you're not worshiping God.
Amen.
You're worshiping yourself. Listen, the Bible is full of invitations for us from God. God wants us to sit with him and eat with him. Jesus ate with everybody. He ate with the Pharisees, he dined with the fishermen and tax collectors, the harlots, rich people, poor people. One time he saw a man up in a tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, I need you to come down here. I'm going to go have dinner after you." Well, Zac didn't make any excuses to Jesus. Man, he came down. And he was delighted to have the chance to go eat with Jesus. And what happened at that dinner? A miracle began to form in Zacchaeus' heart. It says over in Luke that, "Behold," Zacchaeus says, "half of my wealth I'll give to the poor, and if I've treated anyone unjustly, I restore things to him four times over." Listen, the miracle wasn't in the wine and the bread they had for dinner. The miracle was in Zacchaeus, in his heart, in accepting the invitation and believing in Christ. What about you in your life? Maybe you've answered the invitation to come to Christ, but you've quit listening to Christ. He's making invitations to prosper you. He's making invitations to help heal you. He's making invitations to lead you in paths of righteousness. He's making invitations to you that you can overcome anything through him, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
My prayer is today that we'll start answering these invitations that God gives us. I pray that we are out of excuses, that we're no longer making excuses for our bad behavior. Can't judge ourselves by looking at others. We can't think we're good enough on our own. We can't keep doubting the promises that God gives us. We can't come to God on our own time. We have to come to him when he invites us, because the scriptures do say there will come a time where the invitation will stop. My prayer is that we're looking forward to the invitation. We're excited about the invitation. We are so thrilled that God would care enough about us, would love us enough, would think that much of us, that he would want to sit at dinner with us.
And
I pray that you would answer that call. No more excuses. No more saying, "I don't have time." Let's be open today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today and we saw the story that Jesus told, how important it is for us, Father, to accept the invitation that Christ is giving to all people. Anybody who will answer, Jesus will receive. But you got to come. You can't just wait until wherever you're ready. You have to come when the invitation is offered. Father, you got to understand that we sometimes want to put ourselves first, but Father, we know that's a sin. We put you first.
Yes.
We have to come to you the way you say we need to come to you, Father, in spirit and in truth, in your way, Father. There's no way to God other than through Jesus Christ. The scriptures are so clear about that. It doesn't matter how sincere we are. We need to understand that we have accepted Jesus Christ into our life and that we have made Him Lord of our life. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here today that has been making excuses, putting things off, that today they will see that as foolishness. How foolish it is to have abundant life, eternal life, and it's being given to us, and we say, no, no thank you. Father, I just pray that we will learn to hear your voice, learn to be obedient to you, and worship you the way you expect us to worship you. Father, I pray and thank you that we live in a society that we have the freedom to do that, but we still have to choose to do it. Amen. Father, thank you. Bless the people here today. I speak blessings on every person here today. Financial blessings, Father. Healing blessings on them right now, Father. Spiritual blessings on them right now, Father. Emotional blessings with loneliness and despair. Father, I just pray that people will receive you today the way you have offered the invitation and the way it was given. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to come and think he's going to lead us in a song, "Just As I Am," the way the woman talks about it in this message. That's the way you got to come, just like you are. You can't change it.